So I completely agree with you that the culture we live in, Hollywood, social media, the Kardashians, they are promoting a very unrealistic standard of what the everyday person living their everyday life looks like and is supposed to look like. The standard for women in Hollywood is really, yes, you're supposed to be beautiful. You may be supposed to be have a certain body type where you're thin, but you still have big boobs, you still have a big butt, have no wrinkles, you have perfectly done hair all the time, luscious and bouncy. Oh yeah, it's a crazy beauty state. And my focus, like you said, is always to create the best version of yourself, to create a natural kind of enhancement. So there's definitely people that I have turned away because I was like, you do not need more filler right now. Like, we are not gonna put more stuff in your lips. And they're gonna find somebody who's gonna do, make them look like Madonna, but I'm not gonna do that.
Welcome to Better Yourself Podcast. This is Frank Rice, and today I actually have a special guest. Her name is Jude, and today we're gonna talk about beauty. Because of one last conversation that I had with one of my guests here, we were saying, like, the beauty positivity that Hollywood is actually promoting, for me, is actually a scam, because it's not really like the representation of beauty, because people are following everything that they see online. You have filter and you have like surgery, a lot of things as well. I don't want to go too deep before you get mad. I was going to say Botox. I was like, nope, I'm not going to add that one,
No,
because I
that's
just
totally
listened to
fine.
your
That's what
episode
we're here
about
to
the
talk
Botox.
about, right?
But today we're going to be like, it's going to be an open conversation, and I'm going to let Jodie just introduce herself. So I'm going to let you know who she is. Let's go. Just
Hey,
introduce yourself to my audience. Right.
hello. I'm Dr. Jude Borger. Like he just said in the intro, and I'm happy to have that conversation about Botox and all the reasons why women do that. I am also
Great.
known as the aesthetic doctor online. I have a podcast called the Aesthetic Doctor Podcast. I'm a board certified physician. I do aesthetic medicine. So I do the Botox, the fillers, the lasers, the laser hair removal, all of that stuff, the non-surgical things in my office in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And I'm super excited that we're recording sort of across the ocean. And I think we'll also be able to really add maybe what the sort of ideals between cultures are, because of
Yeah.
course, I'm sure worldwide Americans are known for being probably the most beauty conscious and doing the most to our bodies. So I'm really looking forward to having this conversation with you.
Great. I think that's a beautiful thing that we started that way, because I was just listening to, just for people that doesn't know, Jude, actually, she have a podcast where she actually talk about a lot of things about beauty, about Botox, about what do I see again? I think I see a lot of things that you've been talking about today, but I feel like you love Botox. I think that's your favorite things. That's what I heard in one of your episodes, right? And so let's just go straight to it. My problem is, not really a problem, but like what I've realized is Hollywood today is the one, actually, they are the one who are ruling the world, who are pushing the agenda when it comes to beauty, fashion as well. When you see a celebrity wearing this type of clothes, you're gonna see people doing the same as well. They are kind of like putting the standard of beauty. So you don't think like is it making people having more like less like self problem with like a self confidence? You don't think so? Or changing the way we see beauty today?
Well, I definitely think that, our culture, and we live now in a very visual culture, right? With all the social media, with all the Instagram. I mean, I think that actually creates as unrealistic of an everyday kind of expectation, right? So I completely agree with you that the culture we live in, Hollywood, social media, the Kardashians, they are promoting a very unrealistic standard of what the everyday person living their everyday life looks like and is supposed to look like. J-Lo just came out and said, "Oh, I have never done anything to my face." And anybody who's in the beauty industry is like, don't believe that's all olive oil, like, right? So I think there is just I completely agree with you that there is a very unrealistic standard that is being said. And at the same time, I don't think we should fault people for wanting to look the best version of themselves.
All right, so wanted to look the best version of yourself, as you say, for yourself. So how did you get to into like a beauty industry? Is it something like you always wanted to do, or to help people, like, you know, how did you get into that?
Yeah, so I actually find that my work in aesthetics is incredibly deep and is incredibly gratifying. Yes, people say, oh, it's Botox, it's fillers, it's all of that stuff. But a lot of times when people come to me, they really come to me with their deepest insecurities and their deepest vulnerabilities, right? Because the way you present yourself to the world, the world reacts back to you, right? And you are a good looking, somewhat, I don't know what your age is, but fairly young male, right? And there is a little bit of a double standard also with how we expect women to look and how we expect males to look. And when people come to me, they feel really insecure because they feel like they look too old, or they look too tired, or they look angry all the time because they have the frown lines, or they have sort of these spots or marks or age spots on their face, or even, with a lot of my patients of color, they have hyperpigmentation that they spend every day covering up. Because the thing is, with makeup and filters, we already cover it up as it is, right? It's the same when people get braces and they want their teeth done, or even something as simple as what hairstyle did I choose? I mean, clearly my hair is dyed because I don't love the natural color and the grays that are coming and all of that stuff. So I think it's all a big spectrum of things, but I find it when you really meet them where they're at and are able to kind of let them express maybe the things that are holding them back from being their most confident selves. It is actually incredibly deep work.
Okay, I mean, like, as you say, people come there because they have something that they actually want to, you know, improve, you know, they want to have more like self-confidence as well. There's a question I want to ask you. You know, the people that actually come to where you actually work, the people that you treat. My concern is people, because beauty in general, because I see women, especially women, I know beauty is for both sides, women and men. Women, and they like, I see them like flowers. You know, when you actually put something, you put water on it, it actually looks better. It actually grow. Every woman are beautiful. The reason why they just use those a little bit of ingredient, makeup, whatever, just like to bring more beauty out, actually to just expose it more. I have no problem with that. I think the problem is the people that come see you. Are they coming there because they just want to have that beauty out, or they have a problem with self-confidence? Because that's the line. Is it more
Yes,
self-confidence,
absolutely.
or
I
is it
mean,
because they just don't like themselves? They want to look like somebody else.
you're absolutely right. And, we always want to encourage everybody to do all of the procedures from a position of love, right? Because you also know if you have negative self-talk, right? Even if I make those wrinkles of your forehead go away, your self-love isn't
Sir,
necessarily going to increase, right?
great.
You're still going to have the same negative self-talk. So in my coaching, I do actually work on people's self-image of themselves and their self-love and their self-talk. And I think in my podcast, I promote that too. You're absolutely right. There's definitely people who come because they feel like, listen, I'm in my 40s, but I'm vibrant. I'm a young mom. I have all these energy. I don't feel like I should be having all these forehead wrinkles that makes me look old and drab and tired, when on the inside, I feel very young and vibrant and not old. At the same time, you're absolutely right. There's people who are like, I hate X, Y, and Z. Make it go away. And that is not the right reason to get it. And unfortunately, society judges us. And like you said, women use makeup to highlight things, but women use makeup to cover and conceal things too. Like we talk about hyperpigmentation. I can laser a lot of that stuff away. And then sometimes women find like, wow, I suddenly don't have to put all this makeup on anymore to cover all of my dark spots because they're gone. So makeup can be used two different ways as well.
Yeah, I mean, like that's right. But do you think most of the people that you have is they come more for that, what you just say, because they just wanna, or do you, I mean, because you have a podcast, it's very rare, because a lot of people who are in the same industry like you, they don't really care about it. They only care about the money. They just come there. But you have a podcast where you actually support the work that you do, and you are putting a lot of positivity on what you do. That's why it's not just because you are talking on the podcast, you are being all positive, but you actually have something to back it up. That's why I respect you for that, because you have the whole content. You kind of like, explain about it as well. But long, do you think, is it, there is a more, since we have a social media, sorry, with all those filter, do you think you're having more customer because of that?
Oh,
Do
absolutely.
people even come to you like, say, you know what, when I use my phone, when I use this filter, this is how I look like, can I actually look, can I look this
Yes,
good?
and but it actually makes it hard for us too, because sometimes, we have to also explain that, a lot of filter makes you almost not yourself. And aesthetics is a very visual art, right? And my focus, like you said, is always to create the best version of yourself, to create a natural kind of enhancement. So there's definitely people that I have turned away because I was like, you do not need more filler right now. Like, we are not going to put more stuff in your lips. And they're going to find somebody who's going to do, make them look like Madonna, but I'm not going to do that. And the patients that I have that come to me, that find me, they respect me for that, right? And you're right, filters and social media, because everybody, and Zoom phone calls, when during the pandemic, everybody suddenly started having Zoom. Believe me, they spent the entire hour on Zoom being like, ooh, wow. Let's do something than this. So absolutely, social media, filters, just the fact that we now take pictures of ourselves when we get up, when we're just in the gym, when we're playing with our kids, and we just see ourselves all day long, and then we kind of see that perfected image that a lot of people put out in the world, because really, let's be real, Instagram for a lot of people is a highlight reel, right? So now we're comparing our normal lives, where maybe we're making dinner for the kids, or we only got 5 hours of sleep, to those curated highlight reels where everything is perfect. And yes, it definitely makes people feel like there can be something wrong with them, or that they're not good enough, that they're not pretty enough, that they're not youthful enough, that they, they're not enough. And then, yes, absolutely, Instagram and now all the reliance of Zoom again
The Zoom
has
as well, yeah, true.
completely driven up the aesthetic industry business. A lot, like I'm sure it's driven up the people that do like the nails and the lashes and the eyebrows and all of that
I
stuff.
think you I mean, you have it for men's as well, like men now, what men do like the hair transplant as well, that's what men do. When men start losing hair, a lot of people actually go to, I think they do like in Turkish, I think that's one of the biggest place that people do that, because they feel like, I think we don't talk about men issue too much when it comes to hair loss, because men really lose, we lose our self-confidence when it comes to like, hair loss as well. People lose a lot of
And
self-confidence.
that's
But as
and
soon
and
as you go and fix it, people get the confidence back. So that's the kind of like the positive side of it. How we say? I think
And
you work the same
it's
with women.
interesting, why is that hair loss so important to men? And some of it is because, again, hair in men is linked to being having vitality, right? Having sexual vitality, being young, like being energetic, right? It's that because when they start losing hair, they're worried about that, like.
I think hair, I think you lose, your self-confidence, and then your face, everything's actually changed about yourself. I think woman is different. I think woman, the whole wearing your ring, all those things, it's always been for woman. I think now men are kind of actually moving to that direction, but the problem is it's just like finding the line between trying to just like do something just to fix something, but not to do something because you're not proud of who you are. It's not a woman, they cannot even get out of their house without actually wearing the makeup or without having anything. Or if you don't have money to kind of do your Botox as well, like, oh my God, I cannot do that. You see what I mean? I even have people, when you take them a picture, I have people, when you take them a picture, they give you like, I remember Christmas time, somebody giving me the phone, they're like, can you take us a picture? And as soon as she gave me the camera, she went straight to Snapchat, she pulled the filter. I was like, whoa, like she's like, please use this filter, because people don't want to see themselves anymore. That's a problem that we have today. And
Yeah,
I
it
think
is.
all those things, yeah.
You, like
What
you
do you
said,
think?
there is this really big gray zone, right? Like, we're not going to be able to find that line where this is good and this is bad. Like, right, there's a gray zone and it becomes a slippery slope. And I do definitely think that, and I have an episode on feeling beautiful and the science behind like what makes people feel beautiful. And feeling beautiful is an inside job, and how you look on the outside, because there's neurofeedback mechanisms, there's mirror neurons, there's a lot of really important science here actually influences how you feel.
So what do you describe as feeling beautiful, since we are in there, for your description of feeling beautiful?
Well, I think my description of feeling beautiful would really be to love yourself, right? And to love your soul and to love the person that you are. And at the same time, of course, to be kind to yourself. I mean, I think feeling beautiful has a lot to do with positive self-talk and kindness. Mm-hmm. And also, like, a lot of us are so hard on ourselves, and they have this perfectionism in mind, right? This is the only body that we get. This is the only life that we get. This is the only face that we get. Whether you believe in afterlife and reincarnation, as we're here today, this is our one shot. So I think really kind self-talk goes a long way. And if you can be kind to yourself and talk to yourself like you would to your best friend, your relationship with yourself changes. And then, of course, you want an exterior that you're proud to present to the world. So I think feeling beautiful is not just about external beauty. Feeling beautiful is also about feeling in line with your soul, feeling strong, feeling smart, feeling like you're a good mother, wife, citizen of this world. Like, feeling like you're a beautiful person, you know, has not only to do with the makeup that you wear and, you know, whether you have lip filler done. Feeling beautiful, I think, has really to do with the relationship you have with your entire being and your entire soul and the other contributions that you make to the world. Like, think about it. Like, for example, if you have a successful financial month, or you just had a wonderful kind of like session of intimacy with your partner, you automatically feel so much more beautiful because you feel so much better about yourself, correct?
Yeah, sure. I mean, well, that was a beautiful way you just said that. I mean, your way of describing beauty, that's a very good thing. But do you think the way Hollywood is actually promoting the beauty, the fact we don't really talk about, I know a lot of people do like surgery, all those things, but do you think the way Hollywood is actually promoting beauty? Because now you see women, if you don't have like a big butt, and you're going to feel like less self-confident, you don't want to feel good about yourself, you have to have a lips, all those things. I know you are in the industry where you do like all those Botox, whatever, but like, as long as you do it, you are happy with it. But certain people, they put it as a standard. If you don't have it, this is how beauty should be. What is your opinion on that?
Yes. I mean, again, that's a very, you're absolutely right. That's kind of sort of like the mean girls from high school, right? Where at the time you needed the Levi's jeans and you needed the scrunchies and you needed whatever. It's the creating the circle of belonging and not belonging. And absolutely. I think, you know, in Hollywood, especially, the other thing that's really promoted that I talk a lot about is this like eternal youth, especially for women, right? Like, women are supposed to look like they're in their 20s and their 30s, even when they're as old as, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s. And, you know, men are a little bit more allowed to age, while women, you know, the standard for women in Hollywood is really, yes, you're supposed to be beautiful. You're maybe supposed to be have a certain body type where you're thin, but you still have big boobs. You still have a big butt. You know, you have no wrinkles. You have perfectly done hair all the time, luscious and bouncy. Oh, yeah, it's a crazy beauty standard. Absolutely.
But do you feel pressure yourself as well? Because I know you love a lot of Botox. That's what you love. So what do you think? Is it safe? It looks nice, by the way. So do you think, is it something safe, or you go on?
Well, so again, you know, we want to make sure, I think you yourself have to decide what it is that you are willing to do and what it is that you're not willing to do, right? Sort of like you said, maybe, ooh, if I lost my hair, I would get a hair transplant, but I won't do Botox and I won't do a nose job, like, right? You know, I won't get a nose job, even though my nose isn't perfectly straight. I leave some wrinkles around my eyes because I like my smile lines and I embrace them, and I'm in my 40s, right? But I do like my forehead to be fairly smooth because, you know, their worry lines, their angry lines, like I don't love them. So some of that really has to do that, I think, in yourself, you have to decide where that line is. And I don't fault anybody for really what they do. How much you do or you don't do is really up to you, except for, you know, we know those people that go through extremes. Most of the time, it is because they have such a negative self-talk and they think that the next surgery will make them happy and the next procedure will make them happy because suddenly they're going to look closer to your ideal. And I put quotation marks around what they think the ideal is. And then they get there and they realize that they have, you know, had the butt lift and they look like they're idols and they have the perfect cheeks and that. Without the internal self-talk, they're still like not going to be happy, right? And we know that because the amount of addiction that is in Hollywood, the amount of suicide, the amount of, you know, all the bad things also is that despite leaving this glamorous, beautiful life, that it does not fix how you feel on the inside. Yes, can it make you feel more self-confident? Can you think that maybe you fit in now because you know, look a certain way, absolutely, and it does not guarantee you happiness.
I mean, there's one thing that you actually say. I mean, I'm happy that we can have this conversation and find a good balance as well. I'm not trying to trash the people that actually do that or whatever, but there's one thing that you say when people do that because you feel confident by yourself. But the only problem is when people do it because they're trying to hide. Like when you told me about your in your eye, you're trying to leave this because you still want to have that natural look. That's really fit you. But same people, they're trying to do that because they want to stay away from who they are. And when you start, as you say, we don't care about people choices, that's people choice as long as they're happy with that. But when you start affecting people mentally, that's the problem. And that's the reason why you talk about, like, you know, in Hollywood today, people are being suicidal because of, you know, just by the way they look, you know, by the way people are actually judging them. So do you think, when do you think people cross that line actually when it come to that line of, like, you know, trying to take your life away just because of the way you look?
I mean, I think that's a really hard question to answer because I think sometimes you only realize
Sorry to
that
call
you.
you, because same people, what they say, sorry to call you, because same people, they say people are being that way because when they're going to do that procedure, the people that work on those places, they don't really tell them the truth. They just care about, you know, business, and they don't tell them, like, you know what, you need, of course, I mean, it's a customer. As long as people want something, you have to do that anyway. But maybe there's no, like, advice. There's no, like, you know, a lot of talk. I mean, as you do on your podcast, I'm not talking about you because you are the, you know, you actually have a lot of things that you actually show people as well. So yeah, I'll let you talk.
You're absolutely right. I mean, there is definitely, you know, the ethics that come into some of the body modifying surgeries, right? Where you're like, is it ethical to make somebody look like a Barbie doll or a Ken doll or, you know, a lizard or whatever it is? When
Lizard.
they're consenting adults, is it ethical? Like, that's a conversation for a whole nother day, right? And I think to know where that line is really hard. I think sometimes with like aesthetics, we have an idea where that line is, but we really, like a lot of things in life, we only know truly where that line is once somebody has crossed the line. Have you found that with other things that you're kind of trying to feel where the line is and you sense that maybe somebody is getting close and then they cross the line and you're like, yep, cross the line there. Like Madonna, you know, unfortunately, totally.
I mean, Madonna is what do you, I mean, I always been like a fan of Madonna, like the music. I like Madonna music, and I think the way she looks before, she always have that, like, natural, have like a beautiful eyes as well. I think, well, this is one of the most beautiful things I have with the eye. But today, I think she's a good example of actually somebody actually went too far, and now I don't know, there is no way back actually. What your thought on her when you see her? What do you think? Is not.
I mean, I think again, she's had a lot of fat transfer to her face. She's done a lot of modifying surgery. And I think that's the thing, right? Is that clearly something about Madonna, unfortunately, despite all of her fame, in spite all of her artistic everything, Madonna clearly did not deal with aging very well. You know, I'm not. I have never talked to her. I'm not her therapist. I can only speculate. So I want to be kind. But clearly, the fact that she saw herself aging Like Madonna did not deal with it well. I mean, there was something that just did not allow her to, like Jamie Lee Curtis and some of the other women of Hollywood, to embrace some degree even of aging.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the problem. Well, I think she's growing older. She's a successful woman. She have everything that she want. Like, do you think maybe she? I think now she's dating like people actually younger, but that's another subject. Maybe just like it's the whole thing coming together. But the thing about Madonna, people are talking about her today. There's like, oh, you know what? She look ugly or whatever she's doing. But you don't think this is where the new generation today, without having enough knowledge like yourself, might end up? Because now the more we're having those procedure, we want to look younger, we're using filter because we don't want to face the reality. And when you use all those things, when you sometime the age just gonna, we all gonna sometime whatever you do, you're gonna look old at the same age, you know what I mean? Like it's not a bad thing, you know, it's a blessing to get older. You don't think like especially this generation who actually not learning much about it might get to the point of looking like Madonna because they just keep trying to escape from reality. All of
Well, the
us,
good news
including
is that
yourself, of
most
course.
people do not have the funds that Madonna does. I mean, I think that's sort of the problem with somebody like Madonna or kind of Michael Jackson, that the same
Yeah,
thing
I'm a big Michael Jackson
15
fan, so
years
be
ago,
careful.
right? In a different way, of
Yeah.
wanting to not be himself and, like, wanting to be a more like white outward appearing person. So I think, I mean, of course, the average person does not have the fund that Madonna does to go to the plastic surgeon over and over and over and over again. And there was actually a very, but you're absolutely right. And that's kind of where Hollywood kind of does us disservice, taking it back to Hollywood, that I don't think they have great role models or a lot of great role models where how you can look beautiful and powerful in your 40s and your 50s. Does that make sense? And that's one of the ways that I kind of want to represent too, is to say, look, this is what a In my opinion, this is what I look as my best version in my 40s. And, I'm not trying to out-kitten the kittens. I'm not trying to look 20. And this is what me and my best version in my 40s looks like. And my best version in my 50s is going to look different. And my best version in my 60s is going to look different. But I think in Hollywood, just like we said, like, and it's been like that forever, right? People have looked for the fountain of youth since before time. So, especially women in Hollywood, like, are just taught that you just have to look like you're 20 or 30 all your life. And maybe that is really the conversation on how do we gracefully. And then once you overdo it, you become like a Demi Moore or Madonna, neither one of which look great today. So, how do we gracefully now have more visible role models than the ones we already have of what it is like to be powerful and desired? Because that's really what it has to do with too, like, how desirable, right? People want to be loved and wanted. And how does that look like in your 40s and 50s? And again, there's not very many roles for women of that age. You go from, like, playing the hero to suddenly being like the mother or the aunt or the witch. So, that is, I think that's one of the issues too, is to model how you can really be in your prime when you are midlife and you've gained that wisdom and you've gained that clarity and that maturity.
I think what you're saying is actually true because people don't really think about it. There's one thing you have to see as well. You know, when we talk about Michael Jackson, I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan, by the way. That's why I was trying to pay attention to everything that you were saying. Well, it's the thing about Michael Jackson, like things about Michael Jackson was doing before, it was quite shocking for certain people. Why? Because he was one of the first person actually to do that. I think Michael Jackson did the, you know, the Botox, you know, he did surgery, did a lot of things. But Michael Jackson, there was like a problem with like self-confidence as well, because it's not like he didn't like the way it looks, but they used to tell him like his nose was too big, whatever, and he started having self-confidence and he started changing things. And every time they was asking him like, oh, what about this? He was saying like, okay, you guys are telling me like I'm doing surgery, I'm doing this, but people still go on the sun and trying to tan their skin and everything. So it was more shocking back in the day. But when you see now, even the thing that artists are doing, everyday people, they have access to that as well. So everybody kind of like afford this kind of thing. I think that's the danger of it, because before you used to just see like, oh, Madonna, crazy. But now everybody, like the person that do a 9 to 5, you save money, you go to Dubai, whatever you're gonna do, surgery, whatever they're gonna do. I think that's the problem that we're having today. People are not accepting the fact they're gonna get old. I respect the fact you say, like yourself, you have to say, look, I'm this age, this is actually the beauty I can actually get at this age. And then when you get older, just like keep doing that, but just have to assume, like whatever we are when we actually get old. I think that's a good thing. For yourself, so how do you have like how do you deal with your client? Do you speak to them? Do you or people just come? Do a lot of people ask for consultation as well before they kind of come see
Yeah,
you?
I mean, we make a consultation mandatory, right? Or there is some sort of an intake conversation or a consultation. You attract what you put out in the world, right? So of
That's right.
course, people that come to me a lot of the times, because there's so many providers offering all the stuff. A lot of times people come to me because they love my philosophy. They love the aesthetic that I promote, that it's like the best version of yourself. And a lot of people are worried, right when they first come to the first time, is they're like, I still want to look like myself. And I'm like, of course you're still gonna look like yourself.
I
Like,
mean,
don't
it's different
worry.
than surgery, actually. It's not the same as surgery, just to be clear. This is
Right. I do
it's different.
non-surgical aesthetics. So I don't do surgeries at all. I do the laser, the Botox, all the different devices, RF microneedling, lots of things, PRP that's now out there. So yes, it's a little different because I don't do surgery. So you're still gonna look like yourself. And over time though, and a lot of them want to look natural. They want to have some natural expression left, and they don't want to look sort of grotesque. And they're very worried that, and that's what I have to tell them, with one syringe of filler or two syringes of filler, you're not gonna look like, somebody completely different. We're just going to sort of restore some of the volume that your face has naturally lost in your cheeks, because as you age, those fat pads that give you that nice S shape kind of go away.
Okay, I bet when you see my face, I can do some work on his face now. Put something there. Well, what I was saying as well, when it comes to Botox, how does he, because I don't really understand the whole Botox, like how does he, what is he exactly that go to people body?
Yeah, so what Botox does is it relaxes the muscles of your face. It's most often done in the upper third of the face. So if you think about it, like you can see I do my frown, like I can barely frown. But a lot of people, especially frown, is the most commonly because people get those 11 lines. And a lot of times they feel like when these 11 lines get etched in, it makes them look angry. It makes them look like they're scowling all the time.
It's like me, you know what? I have a bad habit of doing this all the time. So now I have a line here. And my mom always tell me, like, why you always been doing this since I was young? No, now, but even I just stay because sometimes I'm not angry, but it looks like I'm trying to,
See, this is what
You're
people
right.
come
I
to
got
me
that
for.
11 and
That
people are like,
you're that person. So,
And then people complain,
maybe
same people tell me like, why are you doing that to your face? Why you always do this? I was like, oh, I think it just, I can't control it. It's just like I don't know, the way I express my face is always come. So yeah,
so
I get
people
what you're
are
trying to
either
say.
frowners or eyebrow raisers. People normally either dominantly raise their eyebrows, I'm an eyebrow raiser, or they dominantly frown. So they have one that's stronger. So basically you come because you're like, you know what? I always have this line. I always look like you're scowling. So many people tell me, my kids say, Dad, why are you angry all the time? And now I want to get
Really?
something about this line, right? So we do a consultation. What Botox is, it's basically a neurotoxin that gets injected right into the muscle, and that it inhibits acetylcholine, which is a neurotransmitter. And what that basically does is it selectively like paralyzes some of those muscles. So that means that those very superficial muscles that draw your eyebrows together, that cause all of those lines that we can see, that cause that frown, we kind of selectively paralyze them through targeted injections, and then it sets in a couple days. The actual injections maybe take 10 minutes. As I said, before then we consult, we go through your medical history, we consent you, we clean, we mark, I make you do the frown, so I mark exactly my injection points, and then the actual injections take 10 minutes. you leave my office looking the same. And over the next kind of week, it starts setting in. And then suddenly every day you're like, wow, I'm frowning less and less. And so because you don't do that frown anymore, those lines are going to soften and go away simply because, like you can see in mine, I don't do that frown anymore. And so there's really no lines. I mean, you can see, you know, my veins in certain lines, but there's no frown lines. So
and then how long is it going to take you like for, because he's like, I know Botox is not good when you put out after that, you have to go and do that again, right? Is that how it works?
So the average Botox lasts about 3 to 4 months. But in certain people, it lasts longer and it lasts less long. It really also depends on when is your threshold to touch up again. You know, initially what's going to happen is the movement is going to come back, but the lines aren't going to come back. Of course, if you make the movement and the creases for long enough, the lines are going to come back. So certain people kind of have it touched up when the movement comes back, and that's about 3 to 4 months. But there's people that stretch it out a little who are like, I'm okay with a little bit of movement as long as, you know, at rest, I don't have those lines. So yes, that's how Botox works. And it's the thing we do most commonly. And, you know, every time I interview somebody on my podcast, they're sort of like, I'm like, what's your favorite procedure to get? And pretty much everybody says Botox. Botox is life changing.
Oh, okay. How does it change your life? Tell me about it.
I think it does change your life. I was happy, I was like, man, I never see somebody else so happy about this.
Go on.
Well, see, this is why you need to get, just try it. I wish you were closer because I'd be like, pop into my office, we'll try it, and you see how it changes your life.
What city are you from again?
Fayetteville, North Carolina, in the United States.
Okay, great. That's a long trip. So
next
maybe it's worth going for that.
Just hit me up.
Yeah, but definitely.
Anyway, I think the reason why it's life-changing is because of the, and I go through this in one of my episodes, is that we really have like mirror neurons, right? So let's say you are somebody who has that frown sort of statically frozen on their face. Somebody who meets you, like, you know, when you, let's say, don't do a big smile, but just are neutral, they're automatically going to say, is he judging me? Is he angry? Is he mad? You know what I mean? And especially, like, as I said, women, you know, women are being much more judged for those facial expressions than guys. You know, if you're a guy of a certain age, it's kind of accepted. But for women, you know, when I was pregnant with my last child, I have three of them, and the youngest one is three, I couldn't do Botox while I was pregnant. And my five-year-old had never seen me without Botox. And then those lines started coming in. And she used to ask me, she's like, Mommy, why are you mad? Mommy, why are you mad? And I really wasn't mad. I just was suddenly able to like have that 11 line, right? And she wasn't used to that.
Yeah, so it's
even Charles Darwin, back in the day, like way hundreds of years ago, recognized how there's that neurofeedback where if I can't frown, actually, it will decrease depression scores because my brain is sort of thinking, well, we're not frowning, it can't be that bad. We're not frowning, we can't be that unhappy. So it does actually change how not only other people perceive you and relate to you, right? Because if somebody looks a little more friendly and less judgy, you see them, you're going to be like, hey, what's going on? Versus, is this person judging me? Did I already do something wrong? Does he not like me? You know, you're kind of like, in that interaction. There's that one, how you come off to other people. Of course, there's the thing on what you see in the mirror that you will like, that you don't have those deep lines. And then like things like, you know, your mom being like, why are you frowning all the time? What's wrong? Like, right, you're not going to get that anymore. Yeah. But there is actually a feedback in the brain where your own brain thinks you're happier because you're not frowning.
Yeah, but the only thing with that is sometimes you struggle to, the good thing about yourself, you when you smile, I can still read your face expression, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of people, you cannot really see the face expression. Because somebody is sad or whatever. You just feel like, I can't even know, are you happy? Are you sad? Or, you know, or they want to smile, but they cannot really smile properly. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. We do take a lot of cues from subconscious expression, and especially eyebrow movement is very important in our subconscious reading of another person, which is why I also like leave most people with some expression versus completely like make them expressionless, because you're absolutely right. At that point, it would affect your social interaction, which would be completely negative then to your feeling connectedness to other people.
Great, great. Are you drinking right now? Because it looks like something nice. Is it a special drink as well?
You're so
Oh
funny.
well, I think it's what you're saying is actually true. But what is your goal as a person? I know you work in that industry. What is your goal, like, to? I know you do a podcast. Did you do the podcast just because you wanted to add a content to, to your work, or is it relate, or is it like? You know, what is the story behind? Because I know you do
I
the
will tell you
aesthetic, but
about my
you also do
podcast.
the podcast as well.
The podcast, it's called the Aesthetic Doctor Podcast, and it had like a multitude of goals. Number one was that I felt like there's a lot of misinformation out there, right? Especially about all of the aesthetic procedures. A lot of people get their knowledge from TikTok, from Instagram, from their celebrities. And I, number one, wanted to put as a physician and a doctor, like accurate information in the world, right? So if you had a question about Botox, if you had a question about filler, you had a question about laser hair removal, that you could actually go somewhere and listen to episodes on those topics and get some accurate, unbiased information, because at this point, I'm not trying to sell you anything. Most of the patients that listens, we have like over 50 countries. You know, they're not my patients, but I think the world as a whole can still, benefit from accurate information that's unbiased and that is by a true medical professional, so that the procedures that you get are really safe for you and they're good and they're giving you your desired outcome. So that was number one, my goal as a physician and an educator. And then number two was really also the fact that I wanted to talk about issues about body positivity, about expectations as women, and to increase people's self-image and to increase people's self-love. And then number three, I do also run a company with the same name, The Aesthetic Doctor, that does courses and coaching. So of course, a podcast is a great way to get your name out there, to get people to follow you, know you. So because of a lot of that stuff I do virtually, there's really no geographic limitation to people. So the podcast for me really honestly had three main purposes.
I think this is good what you're saying, because there's a lot of people who are going there to do a procedure. They don't know nothing about it. Just want to have a Botox, and that's the reason why some people, as you say, you cannot see their face expression as well, or they just go see people who are not professional just because it's a business and is working. Just gonna open something without license. It just like hurts people as well. I think the content that you're putting out there is good, because people, if they have a lot of questions, they can just go there and they just listen to your episode. Or if they have any question, they just write you. Can you talk about this on your podcast? I think that's kind of help. The fact you are pushing the what do you call it? Your goal is also people to accept when they're actually growing older. Like, one day your face is how you're gonna look. Of course, you have to try to maintain, but a certain level you have to accept, yourself for who you are. So do you think people want to see you? Do you think people? I don't think people judge people who have Botox anyway. I think this is like. Is like a new things now, but what do you think about society today, the way you see?
Well, I think a lot of those things, like you said, have become normalized, right? Like you mentioned Michael Jackson, it was shocking at the time. And
Yeah, Michael
nowadays, you know,
Jackson.
he would just be another celebrity doing his celebrity kind of thing. So, like, you know, nowadays it's completely normal or expected for women to dye their hair. Nobody thinks about it twice. I mean, nowadays everybody even can do like, what are they called? The mermaid colors or the vibrant colors. And nobody even thinks twice about people doing that. I think it's the same thing with Botox. As aging has changed, and I think some of it has to do with the longevity of life that has changed. You know, when I think about my mom in her 40s, like she seemed old. And I'm like, I'm not old. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm not going to put the maidenly clothes on. At the same time, am I walking around in crop tops? Absolutely not. Right. So, the society has changed. A lot of those cosmetic procedures have really become normalized and have become normal upkeep for a lot of women, especially if you're in certain social segments, right? And so yeah, it has definitely changed to have gotten normalized.
And what is your, sorry, I always ask hard questions, but what is your thought on surgery if you, because I know your interest is different, totally different. So what is your thought on that? Like, do you think is it, you know, what do you think about it?
Again, I mean, surgery has
When
risks,
it comes
right?
to.
Sort of like everything has risks. So I think everybody needs to weigh the risk benefit. Of course, with surgery, you're running a lot more of a risk of both complications, and you can, of course, change your face and your appearance a lot more. I think it for those who want to have surgery, it's a very viable option. I think with all cosmetic, as in like as the same as medical procedures, that is not the time where you try to save money and go to somebody just because they're cheaper. I think because it's your body, you only have one body, you only have one life. And surgery is a much more riskier procedure than non-surgical things like I do. I would definitely say this is the time where you really seek out an expert and also listen to their expert opinion versus, listen to what somebody did on Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yeah, I think you have something I see on a podcast as well. He was mentioning about, I think it was something to do with laser hair removal as well. So, what do you people do that a lot as well?
Yeah, I mean, again, laser hair removal. We actually do a lot of women and men with that because, like, the same with like you're talking about, guys are self-conscious when they lose their hair. I mean, on the same hand, like nobody wants to be a hairy back guy, right? Or like hairy arm guy. So, laser hair removal gives us the opportunity to do that. Women love the freedom actually of being able to like throw on a bikini or be ready for a date or even throw on shorts without first being like, oh, did I shave today? So that it does give them a lot of freedom. Of course, people get ingrown hairs and they don't love that. And then, interestingly enough, we actually do a lot of facial hair removal with women,
Really? Oh,
especially
yeah. I think
in
when he's
women of
like
certain descents. Facial hair is more common than you would think. And that's really one where they're devastated by the fact that they have to shave or plug every morning. So,
I think
especially
things like
Middle
that, I
Eastern
understand that.
Indian.
I think things like you say, I mean, like I agree what you're saying when it comes to like hair removal. If it's something that you feel like you can, you know, it's not meant to be there, but well, it happens sometimes. It make people feel like, you know, it affect their self-confidence as well. You can actually use it to remove it, a little touch, like, but I think that's the whole purpose of your work or what you actually do. So it makes sense. After that, I think people still look beautiful. They still love themselves. I think that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, again, this is a conversation for another day, but especially in women, the degree of pubic hair that's now acceptable versus not acceptable has
Oh,
drastically
okay,
changed in the
really?
last couple of years, right? I mean, a lot of them feel like they could not show up to a date or be intimate with a guy. That's what I'm saying. It gives them a degree of freedom when they're
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
oh,
As a
yeah,
man,
let's go.
I gotta agree with that. Yeah, as a man, I agree with that. Completely agree with that. I think is the yeah, is a big is a big turn off, I would say. I think when you yeah, I think maybe it's our fault, the reason why women actually turn into that, because we the way we actually respond to that and make them feel like, I think if we was embracing that more, seeing as something beautiful, I think it's more for us that they actually mean women do that, because
Right,
it's the
so
way
that's
we
what I'm
react.
saying. Like,
Because
you're
like when
saying
I
it's a
say like it's a
huge
turn off,
turnoff, and that's an like again, I don't judge your reaction. I love that you're being honest because again, you don't want to be like, oh, I'm not gonna touch that today. And then, how are they gonna feel about again when you're saying you're beautiful regardless, with the asterisks as long as you shave today?
Because I think a lot of women, they're always gonna be like, you know, oh, sorry, you know. I mean, they always say that, like, you know, oh, you know, I'm sorry today, you know, like this, and that's when you know, like, is actually a problem. And I understand why they're actually using laser, because they spend more month actually without even, you know, trying to shave themselves, right? That's how it works.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's really time consuming, right? I mean, let's be real. You can get ingrown hair, razor burn, if you have sensitive skin, or, you know, they're waxing all the time. So I think what laser hair removal does is, like I said, it gives them that freedom, right? It's that ultimate freedom of, wow, I'm lasered. I don't have to shave. It doesn't matter if today, you know, somebody calls me up and I want to go on a date with them and be intimate with them, and I didn't plan for this, or I didn't plan time on a way home from work to like be able to do this, or even something as simple as it's the summer, you know, I'm going to spontaneously go to the pool and, you know, I don't even have to worry about when's the last time that I shaved.
Yeah, I think that's, again, that's a Hollywood thing as well, because I feel like now they're trying to bring the whole 70, 80 type of fashion when it comes to public hair as well. I think Madonna, she's one that started as well. She was taking picture with a public, I mean, on the arm, and they're trying to kind of like, you know, I feel like it's going to come back. But do you think men's, do men's actually come with this kind of concern as well? Or is it more like women? Because men, we are really, honestly, we are 50-50 when it comes to that, because we, I mean, some men, they feel like, okay, it looks clean, but some men feel like we don't know how women really think about it.
It's, can I tell you, it's very age dependent, you know, and it's, pubic hairstyles are very age dependent, which is really funny, you know, like, I think like all the younger generations, they shave. Like, I mean, if you see any dudes in their 20s, late teens, like they're all also completely shaved, like just FYI. I don't know if it's going to come back and trend back. You know, you get to like a little bit the older generation where the guys are still like, as long as it's clean and it's trim, like, right, we're fine. It was the same with like women, you know, my generation is sort of the first that's like, no, we want it all gone down there. But if you go to like 10, 20 years older, when they ask for laser hair removal, a lot of times they'll be like, just do my thighs, you know, just do the little strip up my belly button. Don't take it all away. While, you know, women my age or younger, like, get it all done. So I think if it changes, again, it's going to be that generational change, right? That somebody who's now used to the whole bear thing is probably not in 30 years going to be like, I want it all there. But then generations coming up are going to have a different take on it. It's very, it is very funny how you can really see generational delineation.
Yeah, I think it's very general. Yeah. And then the way we kind of respond to each other as well. And yeah, it was very nice to have you today. I'm not going to keep you for so long. And anything that you want to say to people, something that you feel like during this conversation we haven't really touched, something you feel like you want people to know before I ask you about yourself as well. So what do you want to say to people actually having like a problem with like self-confidence? They don't know here if they have to try, you know, Botox or anything about themselves. What do you think is the first thing that they should know first before they jump into something like that?
So first of all, I want to kind of say that it's absolutely human to want to look your best. It is absolutely human to want to be loved, and it is absolutely human to want to be accepted by the people around you. So number one, there is nothing wrong with you, no matter who you are. Your desire to look your best and be loved is really absolutely human. You know, being loved, though, starts from the inside with how you talk to yourself every single day. A lot of times that voice in our heads is so much more critical than anything anybody else would say about you or your appearance. So number one, listen to the voice inside and really examine it. Like, right, what's that voice saying? Is that voice kind? Is that the voice you should speak to with your best friend or your child? And then number two, there's nothing wrong with you. You're beautiful as you are, and it's completely human, and it's completely natural. It's completely normal to want to look your best and want to be loved by other people, want to be seen as beautiful by other people. So as I said, there's a fine balance. It's inside, it's outside work. I do have a lot of education on my podcast. And when you're ready, or if you were considering doing those procedures, just please don't go to some back room, because you can save some money, or some sketchy country with like no safety measures. Like, please, like, seek a professional, seek a physician or another practitioner. And if you're going to do anything to your body, have it done right.
Great. I think that was very well said, actually. As I say, if anybody actually interested, make sure I'm going to put all the link on the description as well regarding your Instagram website, anything that you have, you guys can actually go and, you know, get in touch. Even if you don't want to, you know, do the procedure, but if you're just curious, the good thing about it, she actually have a podcast where she's going to put all the details as well for you. So, you know, you have a content. It was very, very nice to have you today. It wasn't, I mean, it wasn't an easy conversation because my opinion is quite different than yours, but we actually found our, you know, the middle ground that we actually agree with each other at a certain point. That was the beauty part of it. I like the fact you was honest. At least you have something that you stand on, because I respect the fact you have a podcast and you really put a message out there, right? And is anything that you're actually working on right now that you want people to know, any project or anything?
So I do a lot of business coaching for other aesthetic doctors. So I'm really coaching growing the coaching side of my business, where I both coach individuals on a one-on-one basis on their life, their self-image, all of that things. And I actually coach a lot of aesthetic business owners on how to make their businesses thrive and be successful.
Great. So yeah, it was a pleasure to have you today. And then again, I hope I'm going to have you next time. We might talk about a lot of stuff, you know, around the beauty as well. And again, thanks for having you today. And you guys, make sure you go to her page, please follow her and leave your comment as well. Thank you again for having
you
today. Thank
you so much. And I think that's kind of the fun thing. If you really are able to have a conversation from different perspectives, right? Because those are the interesting conversations. If we agreed on everything, we would have nothing to talk about. So thank
you. Great. Now I've learned about 11. So I know about the 11 now.
About the 11s, right. And thank you so much for having me, especially all the way from across the continent. I love your podcast and I love that you really speak your truth. So keep doing that. Thank you.